It doesn't matter how many kids they have in their house. There's room for one more. We've got a couch, a square foot of flooring. We can do it. We got another. And that's how it is in God's family. There's always room for more children. And so, as many of you know, we've been actually talking for months and months and preparing to go to two services. Our long-term plan is to either expand this way or maybe this way and purchase the building next to us. We have some options. And believe with us, because really it's our resources that we're waiting for. So we did this little expansion, put another 20 chairs in the, and it's kind of, yes, Dave, thank you. Every week something happens on this. Thanks. Seriously, Dave is amazing. And Stan. And so we're working with what God's given us, which I believe honors him. We're debt free. I think that honors him. We're saving. That honors him. And at the end of the day, what do? We give him our fish and loaves. And he multiplies it. That's how we got this building debt-free. We had some fish and some loaves. And Jesus, he just said, bring them to me. Shannon painted me a beautiful picture one time. It says, bring them to me, fish and loaves. And he knows how to multiply. So believe with us for the finances to be able to expand. And certainly if it's on your heart to give something directed towards the building fund, we'll put it right in there. And until that time, I actually think God has a plan for us having to multiply within this room. We're all going to get so good at serving when we go to two services. We're good at serving now. You guys are going to become A-plus servers once we go to two services and all that's required to carry two services. And you know what? That is also going to bring Jesus glory. So as long as Jesus is getting glory, we're just going to go for the ride with it, right? Okay. Offering. I think we're waiting for the baskets. Come on up, guys. We're going to take up our offering. We missed you last week. We were in Florida, suffering on a beach as a family. The palm trees, the coconuts, it was rough. No, it was really precious. We had a really precious family time. We were really, really grateful. Someone actually gave us a timeshare for a week. That's how that little miracle happened. It was so special. And so anyway, but we missed you so much. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We just thank you for this gift of giving. We thank you we have something to give because of your goodness, because of your provision. We thank you for jobs. We thank you for the dignity you've given us, Lord. And Father, we just say we enter into this gift of giving as an offering to you, as worship to you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I have one more announcement, but you can be up here for it. On the end of March into April, Steve and Sally Wilson are going to come and be with us. I know, they're amazing. Steve and Sally are spiritual fathers and mothers of ours for almost 25 years, honestly. We have known them for a very long time. And Steve and Sally travel the entire world. They travel with and minister with people like, what's his face? Randy Clark. Some of you guys know that guy. Written a bunch of books, Randy Clark, Bill Johnson. Anyway, they're going to come, and they just had on their heart to just be in Huron with us for 2 weeks. Normally, we get them for one Sunday or a Wednesday or something. They just want to be here in the church for 2 weeks, blessing us. And so one of the things that we're going to do during that time is we're actually going to be having a Saturday seminar. We call it kind of Freedom Experience and Training. We're going to be just doing a full day of training on inner healing and deliverance. And so this is an experience for us, but also a training. So in other words, I believe every one of us that attends that are going to walk away with a new level of freedom in our heart. That's the goal, to be more like Jesus, a little more renewed, freed up. But also it's a training because we want every person who's doing a home group, every person who meets in a discipleship group, to be able to look at a new believer and for them to be able to say, here's all my junk, and say, hey, I know how to pray with you to bring you into freedom. Because guess what? When we get saved, we're thoroughly saved, but yet we're kind of still messed up, aren't we? And 25 years later, we're still finding, oh, I'm still a little messed up and need to like adjust things. And so this is a whole day just reserved for inner healing and deliverance, both ministry to our own hearts and also training so that you all will be released in a new way in your one-on-one relationships and your discipleship groups to be able, when something comes up, to be able to just handle it. And we're just all about bringing people into freedom, right? Anyway, it's going to be free. It's going to be awesome. We'll probably start a sign up next week because we need to know who's coming. You're amazing.
All right, guys. You guys got notes? Should have got them. Okay. I'm going to talk to you today about delighting in the Bible. So a pretty simple message, but something that is so important. And here's what I want to do. I want to give, I have on my heart, everybody, right? This is for everybody. But I have on my heart, like, young people this morning and young adults. And what I want to get, if I can do it, the Lord help me do it, I want to get you to buy into making it a part of the vision that you have for your life, that I am going to be a person, like in my youth, but not only my youth, like in my adult years, who delights in the Bible, like really absolutely loves the Bible. Like, when can I get time, more time, to read the Bible? And it's a real thing. I'm 45 right now. I was 17 when I gave my life to Jesus, and I had godly men in my life who were big on this, and they're like, right away, they were like, read the Bible every day, read the Bible every day, read the Bible. So I'm just like, yeah, and I wanted to, because I was born again. I love Jesus. I'm like, okay, now I want to know God. I remember before I was born again, you know, I had a Bible. I would go to like church programs where you'd memorize Bible verses and get prizes, but like, I didn't really have much of a desire to actually read the Bible. In fact, I basically never read the Bible. It just sat in my drawer. I had no interest in it. But then when I came to know the Lord, all of a sudden, I had the Spirit in me. I'm like, I want to read the Bible. I want to learn about God. Amen? And so I started just doing it regularly. And I remember at first, it would usually be in the evenings before I'd go to sleep. And I'd read my Bible, pray for a little bit, and I loved it. But I got into this habit of reading the Bible. My goal was every day. I didn't do that successfully, but I did it much of the time. Some days, some weeks were better than others. How many of you guys can relate? Some weeks were better than others, but I had a life vision. This is what I want to get to. I had this in my vision for my life, like, I'm going to be a man of God, and I knew that there is no way to be a mature follower of Christ without delighting in the Word of God. And so I'm going to make it a priority in my life. I'm going to read the Bible every day. And when I'd miss it, it would bother me. And I'd be like, no, I'm going to keep doing this, because I'm like, this is my future. Like, this is my life. I'm going to delight in the Word of God. And I didn't even know that I was going to be teaching the Bible someday at that point. I had no idea. I wasn't actually necessarily even thinking about being a Bible teacher. I'm like, I want to be a man of God. I want to live for Jesus and please the Lord with my life. And so therefore, I have to be a man of the Word. And to be a man of the Word doesn't just mean like that I have one, or even that I carry it around. But it means that I delight in His Word. Like, I read it regularly. I hide the Word of God in my heart. I obey the Word of God. I seek to put it into practice. I believe the Word of God. And that's what it means to be a man or a woman of the Word. And so I looking back in 28 years now, 28 years of a focused commitment. Like, this is one of the big priorities in my life for 28 years. It is one of the things I am most thankful for. Looking back in 28 years, one of the habits that I'm like, man, thank you, God, that you put people in my life who kept talking to me about this, and that you put it in my heart so strong. And, you know, I'd have better seasons and not as good seasons, but it was always there, and I'm just going to keep going for it, and I've grown in it. And I'm going to tell you, like, all of you, every single one of you can become a person who delights in the Bible. You may be like, I don't even know the Bible. It's so confusing. I don't understand it. And it's just stick with it. Just read the Bible every day. Do the stuff I'm going to tell you today. I'm going to give you 7 things that you can do to just become a person who delights in the Word. And I'm telling you, something happens. This is what I think. I think sometimes people are like, well, God, you know, yeah, I would love that. I would like to be a person that actually liked the Bible, that actually delighted and enjoyed the Bible. I would love that. Can you just zap me? Just zap me with this, like, brain transplant and change all my desires suddenly, that all of a sudden I instantly love and understand and know the Word of God perfectly. But you know what? For most of us, that's not going to happen like that. I feel this is how it really works. You set your heart, you see that this is God's will for your life. and you say, I'm going to delight myself in the word, and you make conscious choices day by day by day by day to open your Bible, to read it, to set yourself apart from whatever else is distracting your time. You know, turn off the, put your phone in the other room and put on vibrate so you can't hear it ring. Just, and open the Bible and read it. And what happens is when you choose to value his word, what will happen is a love for the word will grow in your heart. Understanding and wisdom will grow in your heart. You will encounter God when you read the word, and you'll love it. You'll end up being like, oh my goodness, this is so good. And I'm going to tell you now, in the early years of serving the Lord, much of the time reading the Bible was a discipline. It was something that I'm like, I have to do this. I want to be a man of God. I don't want to fall away from Jesus. I need the Bible. I need to stay in the word, right? What started as a discipline has now become a delight. And it has been for many, many years. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. I just got back from vacation. I've been driving for 2 days, basically the whole day, long days. I think we did a 17-hour drive 2 days ago. I mean, it's a lot of sitting in the car. I was the main driver, but it was like 2 days of like not getting to read the word very much. I was listening to sermons, but when I get home and I walk into my house and I go down into my office, I'm like, oh, I can't wait tomorrow morning. I'm getting up early and I'm going to sit in my chair. I'm going to break open the Bible and start eating again. I'm just like, I love it so much. It is such a gift. And I want you to buy into this, that you're going to be this kind of person. And if you'll value the word, God, the Spirit will work that passion in your heart, and you'll end up becoming a person that truly delights in the word, not just out of duty, but out of delight. Does that make sense? Okay. I use this illustration. I think of like many times what people do, they make a mistake, is they do only what they feel like doing instead of what the Bible says they should be doing. But our emotions are like the caboose on a train. They were never meant to play the lead role. Does that make sense? And if you will make decisions to do right things in your life, that's you're making decisions, eventually, like the caboose on a train, they'll come around and then they'll line up in the direction that they should be going. Does that make sense? And so I delight in the Bible. That's the whole message today. That's what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to give one more illustration that you guys already know, but that's what I do. I repeat things. I'm a preacher. So I want you to imagine you're never going to become like it's. I want to obliterate with power the lie, the fantasy that might possibly be in anybody's brain, that thinks somehow you're going to be a mature, strong, fruitful man or woman of God without the habit of regularly reading the Word of God and delighting in the Word. That will never happen. You'll have experiences with God because of His grace. There'll be times you'll be in a service and you'll be like, it's like, I think Jesus made this statement about John the Baptist. He's talking to the Jewish people. All the crowds are going out to him. And he makes a statement. He's like, John was the lamp that burned. And you've enjoyed his light for a while. It's like John the Baptist had this personal, intimate relationship with God where it was in him. And he was on fire for God so much to the point he was burning so bright. It says all the crowds came from all the towns surrounding the whole region just to hear him speak the words of God. But you know what? John the Baptist is what Jesus was talking about. His time is done. He's going away. He was martyred, right? And I think of this as like like many times you can, and this is important, we get around other believers, but and we're enjoying the light of God that they've cultivated in their personal relationship with him. Does that make sense? You're like, oh, I listen to this preacher, and ooh, my heart gets on fire when I listen to that guy. That's because that guy or that girl, they've been with the Lord. They've hidden the word in their heart. They're on fire. The word is alive in them. Does that make sense? Or you get around other people and you see them boldly confessing Jesus and you just feel, yeah, I feel bold, but here's what happens. Then you get around a different group of people and they're boldly sinning and all of a sudden you don't have any boldness left and you're just going with the crowd. And listen, you have to get to the point where you are a lamp that burns. Amen? You got to create with the Lord, you got to cultivate that inner fiery, deep history where I know God for myself. I know him. I don't have to just take somebody's word for it. I know what the word of God says. I know how to stand and what to do in this situation because I know the voice of the Holy Spirit. And you cultivate your own history with the Lord and you become the burning, shining lamp. Amen? And you're going to have to do that because if you don't, I'm absolutely convinced of this, is like you're going to go through in life. There's so many distractions that the devil's going to throw at you to entice you, to get you to turn away from Jesus. There are so many deceptions that are abounding even now in the culture. They're only going to increase. They're going to try and entice you to get away from the truth. There are so many things that are going to try and pull you away from Christ. And it's like you have to choose, I am going to anchor my soul to the Word of God. And that doesn't come just by listening to preachers. It comes by opening your Bible and reading it with your own eyeballs for yourself, hiding the word of God in your heart where you know what he says, where you know what the scriptures say. Amen? And I want you to get you to buy into that. And you think you want to become strong in the Lord. You know, the Bible says that your spirit and your flesh are at what? They're at war with each other. How many of you are familiar with this battle? I am. You know, our spirit is like, I want to do what God says. And the flesh is like, sleep in. The flesh is like, I'm tired. Just watch TV. It's been a long day of work. Right? The spirit's like, man, I want to go to church. The flesh is like, no, you're not. You're offended with those people. They're all hypocrites anyway. And he'll feed you 1,001 things. Whatever you'll buy into, he'll feed you. Right? And the spirit and flesh are at war with each other. But guess what? God, and you say, God, help my spirit to win. And you know what? And God, he's like, oh, I will help you. But the final decision is yours. You, by your daily choices, choose if your spirit or your flesh is going to be the dominant thing in your life. If I had like two puppies here and one of them I named Spirit and one of them I named Flesh, and Flesh would be a very mean puppy. Spirit was very nice. Well, I want Spirit to win, right? So I could easily determine the winner by which one I feed. If I starve Flesh, he's going to get weaker and weaker and weaker. And I feed Spirit the very best nutrient foods, stronger and stronger and stronger than in their fight, Spirit's going to dominate. And that's what I want. But here's, you know what many people do? Most believers do? They feed their flesh and their spirit is in survival mode. Starving. Imagine if you fed your body one meal a week. and then what happens is temptation comes. A trial comes where your faith is being tested and you're being shaken. You need to stand and believe God for a miracle. We've prayed about many of these situations this morning. And those who have wisely chosen day by day to build their spirit, there's a strength that you find. Like, I have reserves that I did not know were even fully there until I needed them. And when the situation demanded it, look, the word of God is coming out. Look, I'm hearing his voice. Look, I'm standing strong instead of compromising. Does that make sense? And listen, you determine the winner between your spirit and your flesh. And one of the main things you do to determine it is you have to feed your spirit. And the food that feeds your spirit, man, is the Bible. It is the testimony of Jesus as revealed in the Old and the New Testament. So now, how to delight in God's word. Number one, I'm just going to give you 7 things to do. These are practical things. All of you can do this. And if you'll do these diligently, you're not going to do it perfectly, right? You're going to have days where you miss days for different reasons because you're driving all day long or because you just have an off day and you're bad and you make a bad choice. But you commit to it. The next day, you just hit delete, and you pick yourself back up, and you keep moving forward. Does that make sense? So, how to delight in God's word. Number one, read the Bible regularly. Read the Bible regularly. Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. I absolutely love this scripture. Verses 1 through 4 tell us what to do. Verse 5 tells us the reward that is guaranteed to you if you'll do verses 1 through 4. I'll just read the reward first. Verse 5, then, in other words, after you do verses 1 through 4, then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. That is a gift. The fear of God is one of the greatest gifts that any of us could ever receive. It's actually the beginning of wisdom is what the Bible says. Amen? It's the fear of the Lord. So how many of you want to understand the fear of the Lord? Yeah? My baseball coach in high school used to quote this verse to us. He says, the fear of the Lord brings wealth and honor and life. The fear of the Lord, if you choose to be a person who fears the Lord, the end result is, at the end of the day, wealth, you'll have honor, and you'll have life. How many of you want that? Some of that we get in this age. Most of it comes in the age to come, if you choose to be a person that fears the Lord. So he's like, then you're going to understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain the knowledge of God. The true knowledge of who God actually is, what he's really like, what his character is, what he values, what he doesn't value, what his personality's like, what it is to live in a covenant relationship with him. I mean, the real knowledge of God. You know that most of the world does not have the real knowledge of even who God is or how to have a relationship with him. They don't even know how. So many times we take it for granted because we grew up in the church or we're in America, so there's Christians all over the place, right? But the knowledge of God, like, who are you? Show me your heart. Let me know you. How do I get these two rewards? Verses 1 through 4. My child, here's how. Listen to what I say. It's the Bible. How many of you know the Word of God? It's called that because God spoke it. So listening to what he says begins with reading the Bible. Amen. Listen to what I say, and I love this, and treasure my commands. Everybody say treasure. Yeah, treasure my commands. NIV says it, store up my commands within you. I like that translation because that storing up God's word inside of us, I think of like a squirrel preparing for the winter. You guys ever watch that? Sometimes I sit in my office and I look out and there's squirrels in our front yard and you just see them. They're like out there in the summertime, they're working, right? They're getting food, they're digging little holes and they're hiding it. And what they're doing is they're working hard and they're storing up food because winter's coming and they're going to have reserves that are going to get them through the winter. Does that make sense? And I just think of like that picture of that diligent squirrel working so hard day by day by day. Little loads, you know, those are little guys. Just a little bit of food, a little bit at a time, but they do it diligently and it builds up and it adds up. And I think that's what it's like when I want to read the word every day and I want to store his word inside my heart. Amen. And that way I have it to draw on as I make decisions in life. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. So the first thing is store up the word of God inside of you, which means you got to read it and listen to it. Amen. But then you don't just go through the motions of reading and listening to it. There's a heart response that's required. Because how many of you know in the Bible there were teachers of the law who had memorized huge portions of the scriptures, but actually they were making decisions that were actually fighting against God and his... The Bible says, I think it's in Luke chapter 7, that they rejected God's purpose for themselves. Think about that. Language. They knew the word of God better than anyone, but they rejected God's purpose for themselves. And the Messiah shows up, standing in front of them. They're watching his miracles, listening to his actual voice speaking, the one that was prophesied about in the scriptures they'd studied their whole life, and they didn't even recognize him. Because there's a heart response. Because they knew the word of God intellectually, but they had pride and selfish ambition, and they didn't have a heart to please the Lord. And so we got to pay attention to this. Verse 2, not only do we do verse 1 and store up his word in us, but we have to tune our ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. We cry out for insight and ask for understanding. That's what we pray when we read the Bible. God, help me understand this. Like I pray that prayer all the time. One of my favorite prayers, this is based out of Luke 24. I love to pray this to the Lord because it says that Jesus was walking on the road after he was resurrected, and he is talking to two of his disciples, but they didn't recognize it was him at first. And it says that he explained the scriptures to them concerning himself. Could you imagine that happy day? Walking on the road with Jesus as the Messiah explains the scriptures, the messianic scriptures to you concerning himself. And then he leaves after it's all done, and they look at each other, and they all of a sudden they realize, oh my goodness, that was the Lord. And the other guy goes, weren't our hearts like burning inside of us as he explained the scriptures to us on the road? And I'm like, oh, stop. That was good. So I'm like, God, explain the scriptures to me, Holy Spirit, and cause my heart to burn with desire for Jesus as you explain the scriptures to me. That's such a good prayer. I love praying that prayer. And this is what he's talking about here. He's like, as you're reading it, ask God for understanding. Cry out for insight. That's what he says. Search for them. That requires effort on our part, doesn't it? Doesn't just mean like, yeah, okay, well, whatever. Check. I did it. Read the Bible today. Moving on. Where's my Facebook? See if I have notifications. It's like, no, like I want to read the word and I want to like talk to God about it. Give me understanding. Explain this to me. What would this look like for me to walk this out and apply these truths in my life right now? And if you will search for wisdom in that way, read it, listen to it, asking God, help me understand it. Give me insight. Help me to rightly apply it in my life. The Lord's like, oh, you are a wise woman. You are a wise man. Says, if you will do that and seek them like hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Amen. Number 2, memorize the Bible. This is how to delight in God's word. Read it regularly, but memorize it. Psalm 119, verse 9. I love this verse. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's a good benefit. Amen. That's a good benefit of reading the word. So hiding the word in your heart, like take time to memorize it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, but this is a really cool thing to do. And there's something about memorizing a portion of scripture. I remember Chad and I did this several years ago. We during a fast, we memorized the Sermon on the Mount together, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And there's something about memorizing. It's like you read the same phrase over and over and over, and then say it out loud over and over and over again until you remember it. And what you're actually doing, accidentally, you're meditating on the word. So many times I'm memorizing a verse. I'm like, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm just trying to remember it, and you're just confessing it, and you're meditating on the word. There's so many times that I would get insight into what it means to be poor in spirit as I just sat there over and over and said the verse out loud, memorizing it. Super good habit to get into. And here's the other thing. I don't want to spend time on this, but believers around the world who spend time in prison for their faith have learned the value of memorizing the scriptures. Because they know the value of the scriptures. And when you're in a prison and you're being pressured and tortured to deny your faith, and your brothers and sisters are dying around you, they're being killed for their faith, and you need strength to stand strong, they're like, we need a Bible, but they can't get a Bible because no one's giving them a Bible. It's illegal. They were so glad that they had taken the time before they got into the trial to hide the word of God in their heart. I heard this story just the other day of a guy. He was in a meeting over in China, and he's with a bunch. I think there were like 22 people in the room. Chinese believers. Many of them were leaders of networks of house churches. Out of the 22 people he was there meeting with, 18 of them had spent time in prison for their faith. 18 of them had. And he's like, oh my goodness. And he's like, well, how many, I mean, in your networks, you know, how many believers are you guys like helping oversee? And they talked a little while and were trying to figure it out. Millions of believers. And he goes, okay, well, turn to the book of, I think it was like 1 Peter or 2 Peter. He's like, turn to like 2 Peter chapter 1. And they only had like, they didn't have enough Bibles for everybody there. They only had a little bit. And one of the ladies, she had a Bible. Immediately after he said, turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to be reading out of that. She just handed the Bible to the person next to her. And he's like, she didn't need it because she'd already memorized it. And as he's reading it, she's just saying it with him, the whole thing, just memorizing it. It's incredible. But I'm telling you guys, we're coming into a season, I believe, of increased persecution. And it doesn't even matter if I believe it. It's happening. There's no way to avoid it. We need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. So anyway, number three, delighting in the Bible. Pray the Bible. Pray the Bible. Actually, talk to God about what you are reading. This is a cool way. Like, have you ever been like, I don't know you. I'm not the kind of person that likes being in a room with tons of people and having to make conversation with a ton of people. I can do it. I can force my way into it because I want to love people and be nice to them when I'm there. But you know, you imagine like, okay, pray, right? Talk to God. It's like, what am I going to talk about? Say all my problems. Okay, now what? Do I tell him again the same problems? Ask him to help the same thing? It's like, what do we talk about? Here's a great thing. Open the Bible and read what he said and then ask him questions and engage him in conversation about what he wrote for you to learn. Ask him questions. What does this mean? I'm memorizing Romans 12 right now, like a certain section of it. And it says, bless those who persecute you. Do not curse them. Pray that God will bless them. And I remember I was just saying it over and over and over again, practicing, memorizing it. And all of a sudden, I wanted to pray it so bad. I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop memorizing. I'm like, God, help me to bless those who are persecuting me. Help me not to curse them. God, help me to pray. I pray, and I was thinking of people that are persecuting. I'm like, I pray for so-and-so. God, I ask that you would bless them. And I just, you turn it into a conversation. Pray the scriptures is a great way to delight in the Word of God and get understanding. You know what I've learned, honestly? When you pray the Bible, you accidentally memorize it. I have so many, I hardly ever have, I've not spent a ton of time intentionally memorizing tons of Bible verses. But I actually have memorized a lot of Bible verses without even trying, just because I've read them so much and I pray them. And when I pray them, I accidentally memorize them. And later on, it's like, oh yeah, I know where that verse is, et cetera, and I can just quote it. And I'm like, man, I didn't even try to memorize that. And it's just because I had read it so many times and I prayed it. So that's a great thing to do. Number four. Y'all doing okay? Okay. Write down what you learn in the Bible. I always like to have a pen with me when I'm reading my Bible. My favorite way to read it is hard copy. I mean, it's cool. Sometimes I'll read it on my Kindle or my phone or something like that. But that's only if I'm somewhere and I don't have my actual Bible and I just feel like reading it. Then I'll open that. But I like having a hard copy and a pen in my hand because I can underline the parts I like. I can write things in the margin, you know, of my Bible. Like you can turn to pretty much anywhere I've read in my Bible, you can tell because you can see it's just marked up. I always have it marked up wherever because I'll underline stuff. I draw circles around parts I really like. I'll put a star next to a favorite part. I'll write a note in the margin. You know, I love to do that. Here's the truth. You will get more out of your Bible reading if you'll take the time to write down the stuff you're learning. If you'll take time just to underline the stuff that you liked in there, you'll actually learn it better. It's true. I've done this for years. I've discipled, I don't even know how many people in this kind of thing, and it is absolutely true. Right, Jennifer? Jennifer knows this. She's passionate about this. If you write in your Bible, journal the stuff you're learning, you will get far more out of your Bible reading. Let me just read this scripture to you. We're going to practice this. As soon as I read this scripture, we're going to actually practice it. I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and we're going to practice, okay? Actually, you know what? Gosh, I want so bad to read this. Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20. These were instructions given to the kings of Israel. And this, like, when you're king, these are things you must do. And here's one of the instructions given to the people who are going to lead Israel. It says this: when he sits on the throne as king, he must copy for himself this body of instruction on a scroll. It's talking about the Bible. It's like one of the things a king had to do, like, welcome to the office. You know, he had to hand write. They didn't have printing presses back then. He had to hand write his own copy of the scriptures. You know what happens when you write out Bible verses? This is another good thing to do, too. Take a book of the Bible. Just go to Ephesians, get a blank, spiral-bound notebook, and write it out word for word. Just write it out word for word. Because, you know, when you're writing it, you're meditating on it. You accidentally meditate on it. That's what happens. There's been many times where I've read the Bible, and I would force myself to do this discipline. I'm like, when I'm done, I'm going to write at least one sentence about what I just read in the Bible, in my journal. Even if the sentence is like, I got nothing out of this today. Like, literally, I would do that. So I'd read a passage, and this happens so many times. I'd read it, and I'd be like, okay, I don't really think I got much out of that today. I'm like, but I'm going to force myself to journal. So I'm like, I get my journal out. I'm like, I don't think I really got much out of my... But as I'm thinking about what I just read, and I'm like, I don't think I got much out of it, sentence two. There was this one part that... And it turns into like paragraphs. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I got so much out of that. And it was, I didn't even come to me until I started journaling, and because I was rethinking it and meditating on what I just read. So I encourage you to do that. I'm just going to skip on. That's such a good scripture. Please read it. Okay, let me do. I want to end on time, so I'm not going to do the practice. Sorry. Go practice when you get home. Number five, obey the Bible. This is how to delight in the Word of God. These are things you do to delight in the Word of God. Obey the Bible, obviously. There's a scripture there. I preach on that all the time, so I'm going to skip past it because I'm a super disciplined preaching machine. Number six. Very important, obey. Just saying. Anyway, number six. Read the whole Bible. Everybody say whole Bible. Say entire Bible. Say Leviticus. Say Psalms. Genesis. Zechariah, Haggai, the second half of Daniel, Revelation, all of it is the Word of God, and all of it is important. The New Testament is not more important than the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is not more important than the New. All of it is important, and it all builds upon each other, and study the entire Bible. Do not be a person who's just like, oh, I'm just going to read the New Testament. I'm telling you, you will not fully understand the New Testament the way you should if you don't understand the Old Testament. It's really, really true. But what happens is, I am passionate about this. I encourage you, like, get into the habit of reading systematically through the entire Bible. Don't just cherry pick, like, oh, I'm going to read Psalms. And then you have, of course, your favorite parts. I'm going to do Revelation. I'm just going to do the four Gospels. I'm doing the Book of Acts. Book of Acts is good. Romans, right? But it's like, don't just read your favorite parts. Read all of it. Read all of it. Because listen, there is a big picture storyline that the Bible tells that starts in Genesis, and it develops and comes to its climax in Revelation. And over the years, it doesn't happen first day, but over the years, as you start in Genesis and just keep reading until you finish the whole Bible, finish Revelation, then go back to Genesis, do it again for the rest of your life. Just keep doing it. I don't even know how many times I've read the Bible. But just keep doing it, because what happens is over the years, you become familiar with the big picture storyline. And then when you're reading those individual sections of the Bible, you understand how they fit into the larger narrative of what's happening. And you'll understand those sections much better with a greater depth and understanding. And we need to know the whole storyline. So I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to be awesome. I want you to be able to do this. If I were to ask you, explain the story of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 5 minutes. Obviously, you can't give every detail, but give me an overview. Could you do it? Or would you just like, well, I'll start in Matthew. Jesus came, and he's the Savior of the world, and tell me like the last third of the Bible in 5 minutes. Like, no, let's start in Genesis, because it all tells the same story. Read the whole Bible. Discipline yourself to do it. Listen, I know, I'll be honest with you, there's parts of the Bible that when you first read them, it's like, what does this have to do with my life at all? When it's like, here's what to do when you're a priest and the grain offering comes. Here's what you do with this offering. It's like, I'm not doing that, Eve. Like, why? Just read it. Force yourself to read it, because what happens is over the years, you see, it's fitting into the bigger picture, and it will make more sense to you, and your knowledge of God will be richer because of it, and you'll be strengthened because of it. So make sure you do that. So I'm gonna try to do it, because this is fun for me, and that's part of being a preacher, is you get to have fun. I'm going to do my best to tell you the story of the Bible in 5 minutes, okay? So I got a little outline there for you. I'm teaching you how to do it. So the Bible, I this is my own outline. I think of it in four main sections of the storyline, of the development of the biblical. There's one story from Genesis to Revelation, and there's a development of the story, like a plot that's unfolding in any other book. And then it comes to its climactic, glorious, super happy ending at the end of the book in Revelation, right? So there's four main parts of the biblical storyline. The first part is creation. That's on your sheet. Write down number one, creation. Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. There's a main places where it talks about creation. There's a few other passages that talk about it too. But those are the main ones. When God created the world, and he created all the people and everything in it. Every tree, every bird, every animal, everything came from God. He is the source of life. He has always been. He will always be. He has no beginning. And he created the earth, and he created all the people. And when he created people, they had a perfect relationship with God, and he gave them authority to rule over the rest of his creation on the earth. And it was a wonderful place to live. The earth was paradise. It was a garden paradise. It was better than the Florida Keys, where I was at. It was like amazing. It was absolutely amazing, because people had a perfect union in their relationship with God, and therefore they had perfect union with one another in relationships with each other. But then part number two of the plot of the storyline of the Bible is the fall, or rebellion. I'm going to try and make our words rebellion. Genesis chapter 3, people decided to disobey God, and when they do, their relationship with God was broken, their relationships with each other immediately started to break, and suffering came into the world and death. And then God looked at people in our mess, and he had compassion, and he says, you know what, I have this desire, I started building it. I want to live on this earth with people in relationship with them forever, with no sin, in paradise, in bliss, in love forever and ever and ever and ever. But then it all got messed up when people decided to disobey him and do their own thing. And then God said, you know what? I could get rid of everything and just obliterate it, or I could redeem it. And that's part number three of the Bible, is redemption. And this is basically Genesis chapter 12 through the end of the book of the Revelation. Is there's a redemption process that's unfolding. And it's like, well, how are you going to do it? How are you going to deliver people so that they want to obey you again? How are you going to deliver them from a sinful nature so they don't keep dishonoring you and following demons instead of you and hurting one another instead of loving one another? How are you, and therefore the earth that they're in charge of, they make bad choices and it becomes a bad place to live. And it's not fun living under wicked leaders, right? How are you going to fix all of that and restore your original plan to live on earth with people forever? And God says, read the Bible. Genesis 12, God, there's a series of covenants that God makes, and each covenant reveals another piece of how he's going to redeem not only people, but the entire earthly creation. The covenant with Abraham, then he makes a covenant with Moses, the people of Israel, who are Abraham's descendants. Then he makes a covenant with King David, and he installs through these covenants the key pieces of this is how I'm going to redeem. And through these covenants, essentially what he says, there's a Messiah coming. A Messiah comes who is going to pay for the sins of people, and who is going to be worthy to rule the earth as a human being, to rule the nations, and under his leadership, he will judge sin and remove the rebellion from the earth, and he will establish his kingdom in every single part of the planet. And that's, and then there's a new covenant. So it's the covenants, the redemption, the story of the progressive unfolding redemption plan of God in the Bible. It's Abrahamic covenant, Mosaic covenant, Davidic covenant, and then the new covenant. And then finally is restoration, number four. Story of the Bible. And this is, you could see snapshots of it throughout different places in the Bible that are prophesied about. The main place is Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Really, I'd say 19 through 22 is the restoration. This is completion. God's unfolding plan to restore what was lost in the fall and to finish what he initially set out to do in Genesis 1 and 2, he brings to completion in the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22. Is this making sense at all? It's the final restoration of all things that we're looking forward to. So that's, if you were to say the whole storyline of the Bible, that's it right there. Creation, and then there's the fall, the rebellion, and then there's redemption. God initiates these covenants and reveals his plan to redeem not only people, but the whole earth from the curse of sin and darkness through these covenants that he made. And then finally, everything, it's just like any story. You know, you read a story and these all these different plot lines, and it's like, how do they end? The book of Revelation takes all the storylines that have been weaving throughout the Old and the New Testament, and it pulls them all together and puts a bow on it. Calls it the new earth. Anyway, I hope that made sense. That was about 5 minutes. And we could go in, you could zero in on that, but read the whole Bible because you become familiar with the big picture storyline of what's happening. And a lot of times people will read a verse of the Bible and they'll completely misunderstand it. Because they don't understand, like, it's completely contradicts, like, all these other passages of Scripture, and because they don't know the big picture storyline of what's happening. So, anyway, read the whole Bible. Number 7, I'll finish with this. Share the Bible with others. This is how to delight in God's Word. Share it. Talk about it. Don't keep it to yourself. It was not meant to be hoarded. It was meant to be shared. Amen? And I'll tell you this. I was sharing the Bible with others long before I was ever officially a pastor or whatever label you want to put on me. I just love the Bible. It's like, to me, it's show and tell. That's my favorite part of being a Bible teacher. I have these moments, I'm just reading the Bible. I'm like, this is so yummy. Like, this is so good. This is awesome. Like, you guys know, many of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And you're alone in the room, like, I'll be in my office downstairs. Autumn, bless her heart, is trying to have her own time with the Lord upstairs. And I read something, I'm like, I want to go share so bad. It's like show and tell, right? You get something you're excited about, you want to share it. You want to tell the people you love about it. And I'll like go upstairs, like look at her. Is she busy? Is she like into something right now? So I'm like, no, she doesn't look that busy. Guess what I just read, babe? She's like, what did you read? I'm trying to read too. And so that's how it is, right? But listen, the God likes that. He wants us to share what we're learning in the Word with other people, not just believers, but unbelievers. Like I had a conversation. I was at the beach earlier this week. I was in Florida, and there was this guy and came over, and he started. I wasn't even trying. He started the conversation and just started talking to me, and he's asking all these questions about the Bible and different things. So I'm just like, all right, let's do this. And so we just start talking about it, right? And are just sharing it with him. But I love to do that. I love to just talk about God and his plans with people because he's so beautiful, he's so lovely, he's so wonderful, and I want you to know for yourself how awesome he is. His plans are so great, so trustworthy, so life-giving. I want you to know his plans so you can be benefited by them as well. Amen? So share it with other people. So I'm just going to recap all seven things without preaching them. Help me. You help me because I don't have my notes in front of me right now. Number one, you want to become a person. Devote yourself to delighting in the Word of God. Number one, you got to read the Bible regularly. Number two, memorize it. Number three, pray the Bible. Number four, write down what you learn in the Bible. Number five, obey the Bible. Number six, read the entire Bible, right? Number seven, share the Bible. Talk about it with other people. Amen. So here's what I want to do. I want to end by praying for you and giving you a 7-day challenge. Okay? So here's the challenge, if you want to accept it. I want you to challenge you to read the Bible. Commit. I say, I'm going to read the Bible every day for the next 7 days. And then and do the things, the seven things I talked about, like underline, write, pray, you know, all those things. And then find an accountability partner and text them each day of the 7 days after you read your Bible for that day. Text them one thing that you learned in your Bible reading. Simple, right? How many of you want to do that? How many accept that challenge, the 7-day Bible reading challenge? Just hold up your hand if you want to do it. You can't be like, because you'll never do it. You got to be like, I'm in. I'm doing this thing. You got to have that kind of resolve. You with me? All right. You're like this. So, okay, so if you can do it, what I want you to do is I want you to write down right now who you're going to have for an accountability partner. And I know you need to go talk to them and everything. You know what? Certain ones, you can even do this with unbelievers. I've done this with somebody who didn't even know the Lord before. But they were open to learning about Jesus and stuff. And I was just like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to share, like, each day from the Bible, something cool I read, I'm just going to send you a text message. They're like, this is a great verse. You should check this out. And I tell them. All right, you guys got it? All right, so the next 7 days, starting today is day one. Read the Bible every day. Text somebody and share what you learned that day, one thing at least. And hopefully you'll get in some good conversations that way and build one another up and edify one another. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would impart to us a grace, like give us a desire and a conviction, a resolve in our inner man that says, I am going to be a person that delights in the Word of God for the rest of my life. And I'm starting now. And I'm going to do what I need to do, and then God's going to do what he promises to do, and I'm going to end up being somebody that loves and delights in his word, and it bears much fruit for his glory. So, Father, release that impartation now. I thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let me just ask this question, and then we're going to...